Conference recording started.
Okay, so welcome everybody. This is Terry DeMayo. Today is June 27th, 2016. I am with the October 2015 Life Coach Training Group. The class is Coach the Coach Practicum 4, Class 3, and I'm with Group B. So, how are you guys doing with your practicing?
Good.
Good. I'm doing terrible.
What's going on? Are you joking? Or are you?
No, this is Donna. I haven't been practicing. I was caregiving, and then I came home to an aging parent and a dying parent and a son separating from his wife. And I've been in grief and trying to figure out how to finish school and still find places to play and to rest and to stay excited about coaching. And I'm just really sad. And I'm just really struggling.
Okay. Donna, you know, life keeps going on even when we're in coach training. And that's the good news and bad news.
Probably as a life coach, too. Life keeps happening.
Let me tell you, of course.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I have a class. I get a call. My friend is in an accident. Her mother's shaken up. The car is totaled. It's in my name. Take a breath. Decide what needs to be done, and then come teach the class. And that's minor compared to what you're coping with, and I get that. But to me, what this work is all about is always bringing ourselves back to us, always bringing ourselves back to ourselves and moving forward from there with as much calm and acceptance as we can find in that moment.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. I had to go meet some workmen up at my cabin, and I just stayed. And I stayed up there for 4 extra days just to try to be in that wordless place and just stay out of this, you know, try to stay in the eye of the storm instead of feeling like I'm swirling, you know, around with everybody else's voices, you know, that they are or are not going to make. You know, it's like I can't move anyone to make choices, and they're just going to, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I love, you know, our business, God's business, and their business. That's, you know, I'm so grateful for taking the class in the midst of, but I'm finishing it with, you know, trying not to should myself of, you spent all this money, you spent all this time, what are you going to do with it? Because right now I don't really want to do anything with it. But
What if that's the answer to what are you going to do with it? Nothing right now.
Yeah.
And Well, if it feels good, can you go with that?
I can go with that.
Because
I've been feeling so guilty that I ditched my teammate, you know, in not really practicing with them and being available for them. And it's more about them than it is me, you know, saying, you know, I mean, they've been gracious about coaching me a lot.
They've
been so gracious about that.
Good.
You know,
and
but
Donna,
I don't feel like a good coach to them.
Well, guess what? Maybe it's your turn to ask for help. And maybe that's a lesson you need to learn internally so that later on when you're coaching somebody that can't ask for help, you know how that feels and how to work through it and ask and accept help when it's there for you. What if that was the training you were doing right now?
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It,
you know, for those of us who...
authenticity and humility,
mm-hmm,
authentically
mm-hmm.
a mess. I'm just a mess right now.
Yeah, yeah. And you see, for those of us who are in the position of often caretaking others, there's a control and a power in that. Ah, they need me. And when we can't help anymore and, you know, we get stuck in this guilt and I'm ditching and all of the stories, but really what is being called forth in us is vulnerability. I can't do it right now. I'm not in control. Mm-hmm. I can't take care of you. Mm-hmm. And can I be okay with admitting that and asking for help and allowing it in?
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important part of coaching for all of us, because none of us are strong all the time. None of us have this together 24/7. And so when we can learn and allow in that vulnerability and I've got nothing under control right now and that's okay. You know, that's square one, right? Everything is falling apart and that's okay.
So can I ask a quick question, Terry?
Absolutely.
So let's say you are, let's say you're just you. And you mm-hmm. have this thriving life coaching business and life mm-hmm. slams you up against the wall. What
mm-hmm.
kind of options do you think about or would you choose or have you seen other coaches do when they have a spouse die or a child or something big where you're like,
yeah,
this is hard and I'm still I've got clients who I'm trying to hold space for, but I need
mm-hmm.
space for myself.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
What do I do? I cancel my
what
appointments.
What do you do?
I cancel my appointments. I take the time I need.
It's that
simple. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, I can't do it today. I watched my cat get picked up by a dog and shaken outside my kitchen window a couple of years ago. I had a day full of appointments. I was a mess.
Yeah.
The cat had been with me for 20 years. It was my children's little pet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this horrible death and went out, you know, I was on the phone with a client looking out the window when it happened. And I had to excuse myself from that call, and I was a mess. I couldn't coach anyone the rest of that day. I needed to take care of me first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, other circumstances might not be so impactful. I just heard my friend who was in an auto accident, in a car in my name. She's very dependent on me, calls me first, blah, blah, blah. Okay, mm-hmm. that one... I can pull myself together, even though I'm like a little aggravated that I didn't listen to my own intuition about not leaving her with that car. So I'm a little annoyed with myself, but I called my insurance agent. I reported it. I told her, call the police, call your insurance agent, take these steps. And I took a couple of breaths and I'm able to be here with you guys because that one wasn't that huge that it was going to disrupt me today. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So it's feeling into each situation. Can I show up for them? If yes, mm-hmm. I will do it. If no, you know, I'm familiar enough at this point with my own body to know what I'm capable of doing and when I'm over my limit.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. And it's a practice to get there. Allow yourself the space. You know, you don't have to be perfect with it yet. And you'll discover how to do this often by making mistakes, showing up when you really can tell you're off, or canceling when, oh, I really could have done it. You know, so you'll make a few wrong calls along the way, but then you begin to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I love this particular style that Martha has about being PA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't, that probably attracted me more than anything else about being, you know, completely open and present and authentic and vulnerable, you know, even though that's really hard.
Of course
being vulnerable,
but listen,
when you feel responsible, it's really hard to say, I'm going to let you down, you know, because I'm not okay.
Well, how is that letting anyone down if you're not okay? How do I let you down if I'm not okay?
I think that's just a childhood message.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That I believe.
Yeah. And we always need to weigh this against, you know, it's not like a vulnerability is difficult. Control is even more difficult. The need to be in control all the time and pretend when we're not being authentic, that's even harder. Once we make that crossover, then you'll begin to understand what I'm saying. Yeah, it's hard to be vulnerable, but not being vulnerable is even harder. It's just the way you've practiced it. It's more familiar. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, acceptance is such a big piece of this, not making yourself wrong for wherever you are. Does that make sense?
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Acceptance is something that is my business right now, of just accepting how I am in the midst of all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even accepting your guilt is part of acceptance. Okay, I feel guilty and that's okay. I feel vulnerable and that's okay. I feel out of control and that's okay. Whatever shows up, can I be okay with it? Because once we start fighting with what is, then we've diverted ourselves from the mission, and now we're in an inner war with ourselves.
And the body will talk.
Mm-hmm.
About
it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The body will talk.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. Because everybody here knows what this experience is in one way or another. And so you've provided everybody with the opportunity to look at these questions. Okay.
Well, this is really going to give me a lot more freedom down the road as when I am ready to get certified and I am ready to be a life coach, to give myself permission to coach myself and take really good care of myself.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first, always. That's really the key to doing this work well. So, congratulations. You're in the journey.
I like the tribe. Thank you, Terry. Much appreciated.
Yes, you're welcome. I need to take roll before I forget, so let me just run through that quickly, and then we'll move forward. Simone, are you here? How about Karen? Silka? Julia? Goodness. Zamorit? Jody?
I'm here.
Yay. That one. Melissa?
here.
Yay. Cindy.
Here.
Good.
I'm
Jennifer.
Here.
Jennifer,
can you hear me?
Here? Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay.
Lisa.
Yes. I'm here.
Okay. And we know, Donna, that you're here. And Robin? Whoops. Okay. All right.
I think he's Jennifer.
Hmm?
I'm Jennifer.
No,
I heard my name, but I don't know. I didn't respond, so.
Yeah, I heard you. I thought you responded, and I marked you here, so.
It's okay. I think it was Cindy talking, but it's okay. I just want to make sure you marked me.
Okay. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Okay. So, who's going to coach today? Particularly someone who hasn't done it. Lisa, I don't see that you've coached recently.
Yes, I'd be delighted to coach today. Thanks, Terry.
Yay, okay. Now, who would like to be Lisa's client?
This is Cindy. I'll be her client.
Thank you so much. Okay, so you guys will remember that this is where we put it all together. And you can experiment a little bit. You can play around with the tools. But, you know, we want to keep the basic Martha Beck methodology in mind. You know, what square is this client in? What are they presenting me with? And what are the tools that might work best for that? So with that being said, why don't you guys jump in? And I'm here if you've got a question or need any help.
Right. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Lisa. I'm good, honey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Just wondering, do you need a little bit of centering, or are you okay?
Actually, that would be a really good thing. Thank you.
Great. Okay. So, wherever you are, if you're sitting down and you've got your feet, if you could put both feet on the ground, and hands on your thighs or wherever you'd like, and just take some deep breaths. And just imagine these I'm missing the English word right now. Ropes or the branch. Oh goodness! What holds a tree down?
the roots.
Roots. Sorry. Imagine roots that are coming out of the tree, out of the bottom of your feet, and they're going down deep into the ground. These roots are holding you and your feet, and they're continuing on deep into the center of the earth. And they're hooking up in the middle of the earth. And then I'd like you to imagine the same type of roots leaving from the bottom of from your bottom, and also traveling through all the layers of the earth and hooking up to the center of the earth. I'd like you to relax. Relax the muscles on your face, on your forehead. And then come down through your body, relax your shoulders, and just feel held by the earth. You're safe and grounded. If you take a few more breaths, and if you close your eyes, open your eyes, and Tell me how you feel.
Better. Good. Thank you.
Sure. So, what's been happening? Is there anything you'd like to talk about specifically, or something's been bothering you?
Well, I have an ongoing thing that bothers me that my husband is retired and at home, and I am now working from home, and it's really hard, and I find that I am not my best self a whole lot of the time. I can be just really, impatient, and I feel claustrophobic sometimes, and I just want to be in my house by myself, and in my head, I know that's not fair, that, we both live here. He works hard around his house all the time. He is not an idle person at all. He's constantly doing something. And whatever I'm not doing or don't have time to do, he does without any problem. But, man, this guy can't even, do anything right around me. And I try really hard. And sometimes I can just be really kind and generous. And sometimes I'm just a bitch, and I don't like being that way because I feel bad, It's just not, it's not who I want to be. It's not how I want to feel. So, and like I said, it's ongoing, and I don't, after his stroke, he's done an incredible job and worked really hard to, got almost everything back, and it's great. But, just where I am at the moment.
Okay. So, seems to me like there's a recurring theme and a recurring story you've been telling yourself that you're not your best, in your words, you're not your best self around him. You're impatient. You are unfair towards him. Can you tell me more, a little bit more, and maybe describe an actual situation in which you felt that way?
I can give you one that happened a little while ago.
Perfect.
He's great. Guy does laundry, vacuums. He's just, it's just, he has no problem with any of that stuff. But there are certain things that we hang most of our clothes out on the line, but there are certain things that I prefer to go in the dryer. And I looked outside and there were a few things hanging on the line. And I'm like, and I don't say anything, but I make a noise, Because, of course,
okay.
I can't be grown up enough to actually say something, because I know I'm going to say something that is, because I guess being passive aggressive and harumphing is the coward's way, or less offensive, it's equally bad. And I go out and I grab the stuff on the line and I go upstairs, and of course he hears the dryer going. And I know intellectually that it's not a big deal. What's the big deal? But I think I pulled the basket of laundry out. I had to take a phone call. I was going to do the wash. And I guess I just want to do the damn wash, And I know that sounds absurd and ridiculous, but it's just, But that's how I feel. It's like, it's like there's this piece of me that if I don't do it, it's not done my way, it's not done correctly.
stupid.
Okay. Tell me more about this. If it's not done my way, it's not done correctly.
I think I'm some. I think what it is that because his priorities are so different than mine when it comes to doing things like this, that I assume that what I want or what's important to me is going to be ignored. Mm-hmm. That's how it feels. And that may not even be the truth, but that's how it feels. On some level, I don't know. He's a very, very down-to-earth kind of person, and how things look is not important. Whether they function correctly, that's what's important. And I'm this very aesthetic person, and the way something looks to me is important because it's pleasing to me. You know, I'm just a very visual person. And, yes, I love that things function and the man can fix anything. But finesse, not so much. And that's fine. But that's the part of me that I feel doesn't get honored, you know? So.
Okay.
I guess it's not really about the laundry.
No, exactly. So it's something quite deeper about you not feeling appreciated in a way. Would you say that? When you say I don't feel honored.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think he does appreciate me. I think it's just that I think we have different priorities. And so and like I said, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like what's important to me isn't important to him. So it won't get honored in that. Do this for me this way because it's important for me to have this done this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't think it's really about being appreciated because I know he appreciates me. You know, and appreciates the things that I can do. And I appreciate the things that he can do, but sometimes I just want things done the way I want them done. And damn it, sometimes I just want to do them myself.
I'm looking to understand what's hurtful here to you. What is this kind of belief that you have, the limiting belief that you have that is causing you pain? So if we could maybe I'll say a few phrases to you and you can tell me what rings truer to you.
Okay.
So you said, I feel what's important to me is not important to him. So and you also said that you don't feel honored. So would you say that he's, what are you feeling?
Please.
You tell me. Yes. Sorry.
Are you someone else speak? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody speaking?
Okay.
I guess Cindy. What are you feeling right now?
Well, I turn it in on myself because I think I should be better than that. I should be able to feel differently, that mm-hmm. these things are silly and that they're not important and that I should be past this. I should be more grown up than this, you know. I'm not a child, and yet that's how I feel. I feel like stomping my feet. And I don't know.
So all these shoulds, you know, it's really kind of there's this recurring kind of a song that you're telling yourself. It's a theme that comes up I'm not worthy. I should be a, you know, I'm not a good enough wife. I don't.
Hey, Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
I suggest that if you're offering a hunch,
yes.
I have a hunch you're thinking blah, blah, blah. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay.
Because I hear you saying things to her reflectively, but can you use the tool?
Yes.
And while you and I are talking, what's going on with her? There's two things going on.
Yeah.
What are the two main themes that you're hearing?
Yeah, I'm feeling that she you know, she's very frustrated about how she's reacting to to her husband.
Mm-hmm.
When she feels she's being unfair towards him.
Right. That's one piece of it. And what's the other piece of it?
She doesn't like what she's doing. And
she doesn't like what he's doing.
She doesn't like what he's doing as well. Yeah.
She doesn't like what he's doing, and she doesn't like that it frustrates her.
Yes.
Okay, so those are our two main themes here. Now, what square of the change cycle does this indicate to you?
I would say one or two.
Well, is this dreaming and scheming, or is this more?
No, it's one. It's one.
Yeah. So we've got a square one thing. You know, her husband retired. He's home now.
Yeah.
And it's getting under her skin.
Yeah.
And she's beating herself up about it.
Yeah. That's the part that I was going to focus on, is that her beating herself.
Wait one second, though. You know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but you remember the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet and how effectively it will expose, you know, question three, how do you treat yourself when you're believing the thought, my husband doesn't honor me, or whatever thought you choose here, you see?
Yeah.
So you can get at the beating up, even with that. You know, he's doing it wrong, and that's not okay part of this dilemma. So pick one or the other, but I think at this point you have enough information to move forward, frame up a thought, and begin to coach her around it. Tell me where I'm wrong on that.
No, I see. Do you recommend doing the work or an ACT?
Well, I don't know. You're the coach.
I mean,
I like the work because it goes deeper.
Yeah.
To me, I personally use ACT when the client has some insight and we're reinforcing the insight. But again, this is your opportunity to make it your own.
Okay.
But you're doing a great job. My jumping in here has nothing to do with how well you're doing, but I just
no,
want to
no,
make
I,
sure
I
you're
appreciate
oriented.
It.
Oriented. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. Okay, Cindy, sorry, that was coffee talk.
No problem.
So I'm gonna ask you if we because of the time constraints here. Do you feel more strong, what's bothering you most? This feeling about feeling unfair towards him, or you're feeling that you're unhappy with what he's doing in the house in this case, or in general, and how things are developing between you and him in the household?
I don't know, because what happens is I think, well, I'm
I'm making all of these things an issue, and perhaps they aren't. Perhaps he's just doing what he does. It has nothing to do with me or how he thinks, but it is how I feel. And I guess maybe what it is that, I don't know. I mean, if I was to choose and come up with something, it would probably be that
yeah.
I don't know. Can you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah. So what do you think about if we just keep it straight? Like, I am annoyed with your husband, with Stephen. Stephen is his name?
Mm-hmm.
I'm annoyed with Stephen because he doesn't do what I'd like him to do, or he doesn't know what's important to me. I'm annoyed with Stephen because he doesn't know what's important to me, or doesn't care.
I'm going to jump in one more time. Remember,
yeah.
Lisa, when we're framing up a thought, we can drop off the feeling part. I am annoyed with Stephen. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do that, now frame the thought up.
Stephen doesn't know what's important to me.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. That gives you a simpler statement to work with.
Okay. Great. Okay, Cindy. So can I ask you, is it true that Stephen doesn't know what's important to you?
No, he knows what's important to me.
Okay. So, maybe you go back.
Maybe I think he doesn't care what's important to me. Maybe that's what it is.
Hmm. Okay. So, we can change that. So, if I say, Stephen doesn't care, is it true, Cindy, that Stephen doesn't care about what's important to you?
I think in this instance, yes.
Okay. Can you absolutely know that it's true that Stephen doesn't care about what's important to you?
No.
So when you think this thought that Stephen doesn't care about what's important to you, how does this make you feel? Can you tell me, like, physically,
yeah,
and what comes up to you?
Yeah, I get angry and I get really tight in my shoulders and I get my body gets very tense. I'm sure my face does something, and it just feels, I feel combustible, you know, like, I don't know, I just feel combustible. I feel dangerous to me. I don't know if that's the right word.
Okay. So, what do you do? What happens? How do you react? Can you tell me more about what you do when you have that thought that he doesn't care about what's important to you?
Yeah, I get huffy. I stomp my feet. I walk loudly. I mutter. I don't behave in a way that I think is very adult, and I punish myself in my head for being so childish or being so unevolved or so unwilling to be, just let him be whoever he is. And I feel like crap. You know?
Yeah. Okay. So, often we're going to make that thought completely dissipate. It's just poof, it's gone. You don't have that thought at all anymore. Who would you be if you didn't have that thought? Who would you be without that thought? What would you be like?
I would laugh a whole lot more around him, that's for sure. Because it wouldn't be a big deal, you know? And then I'd go take the thing off the laundry and throw it in the dryer. What's the big deal? Why do I have to punish him to do that, you know? Why do I have to make him see that I'm annoyed? You know, so I wouldn't have that. It would be very liberating not to have that, not to feel that way, you know. Mm. Not to have myself wrapped up in that ball of string.
And how would you feel in your body in that same situation?
Fine. I feel light. I wouldn't have that all those spaces, those wonderful empty spaces filled in with gunk, you know? It would just be light and easy and playful. It would feel better.
Okay. So let's take that thought now that Stephen doesn't care about what's important to me, Cindy, and let's turn it around. Do you want to start maybe with the opposite?
Sure.
What would the opposite be?
The opposite would be Stephen does care about what's important to me.
Okay. Can you tell me?
I could sit here and give you a really, really long list of why that's
okay.
True.
Okay. I'd like to hear some, please.
Sure. He goes out of his way to make sure that whatever I need to do for this course or this class or anything related to it, that I have the space and the time to do it. He makes sure that all the watering systems to water my plants and my flowers are all functioning correctly. He facilitates a lot of the things I love by making the tools available and the space available. And he's an incredible father, and which is really, really important to me. And, yeah, he's a good guy.
Okay. So what if we turned it around? The phrase was, Stephen doesn't care about what's important to me. And we turn it to the other. So
I don't care what's important to Stephen? I don't care what's important to Stephen. Yeah. Unfortunately, I can support that too. I tend to make light of the things that are important to him. I don't agree with a lot of the things he believes, and so I make them nothing. You know, I don't honor him in what's important to him. I make comments about something he'll be watching or something he'll be reading, and
Okay. Okay, and so we want to do one more turnaround. That would be to yourself.
I don't care what's important to me. or I do care what's important to me.
Yeah. What sounds true? I do care what's important.
Wait.
Yes. Yeah.
Keep to the structure of the original
okay.
thought.
Okay.
And just turn it to self. And at this point, it's not important which feels truer because the exercise is incomplete and it hasn't worked its way through.
Okay.
Do you get it? And turnarounds are not about positive affirmations. They're about finding the truth in the uncomfortable places often.
Okay.
So, yeah, you're doing great, you two, though.
Okay, so I don't care about what's important to me.
Yes.
Let's see. I tend to put myself at the bottom of the list. I try to make the things that are important to me seem almost less important. And I think sometimes I try to make things that are important to me less important so they have less power, less meaning. I make light of what's important to me.
You said in spite of what's important to you.
No, you know what? I make light of what's important to me. And a lot of times I make light of what's important to me, I think, because it's sort of like it protects me. If you don't know what's important to me, then you can't, you know, it's like, you can't take it away, make it less important, make fun of it, question me on it. So I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
I also don't share a lot of things that are important to me with Stephen.
Okay. So the point of this exercise, I guess, is to I think you found examples to be true for all these other terms of these turnarounds. Easily found examples. Does anyone in particular feel more more authentic to you, or has it made an impression on you? Any of these turnarounds? Do you want me to go over them to remind you what they were?
Yeah, I think it was. Stephen does care what's important to me. I don't care what's important to Stephen, and I don't care what's important to me.
Yeah.
They're all pretty true. I mean, and they're, I have a feeling, I think they're truer than the original statement, because I think they're probably what's behind the way I feel in that original statement.
How do you feel now after having gone through this exercise?
You know, I wish I could tell you I felt good, but I don't. I feel sad.
Sad. That's okay.
I feel sad that I spend energy and time on such a bad way, in such a way that doesn't provide anything positive for anybody.
Hmm.
it's hard. I'm sitting here listening to this, and I'm thinking, my God, you almost think I have been married to a horrible man. I'm married to a wonderful man.
No,
we have a really good marriage, but I just get so... Just makes me
sad. I think you should allow yourself to feel the feelings that you feel. If there's anything, though, that I could point out is that, you know, you were, at least, especially in the first turnaround, that the opposite of what the statement was, you could give me 20 examples of it. And I think what we're just trying to do here is just, you know, look at these thoughts that come to us and look at them purely as thoughts because they can be turned around and we can see truth and the opposite and you know, so they're truly just thoughts and they can cause a lot of pain, and I think that's exactly what you're feeling right now is just sadness and pain.
True. And yet I can make a choice not to feel that too. I don't know. It's very complicated for me. It's one of those things that is very hard for me to wiggle my way out of.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of, just because I know you a little bit, I see it as this kind of recurring story that you tell yourself. And that's why I was tempted to do the ACT because to put a little bit more, you know, humor in it.
Yes. Yes.
So, if it's okay, Terry, is it okay if we continue a little bit more?
Talk to me for a second first, though.
Okay, Terry. Yeah.
What's going on with her now?
Well, now you know this, the coach in me doesn't want to leave her
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the problem now?
Pardon? What did you say?
Where's the problem now? What
Where's
is she
the problem?
Struggling with?
I guess a sense of guilt.
Yeah, she's making herself wrong for the way she feels.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes. So
what is she expecting? What we're talking about it. What is she expecting of herself?
She is expecting to be a better, more whatever in her eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, a better wife.
Right. Right. She's essentially at war with herself.
Yeah.
In addition to being at war mentally with her husband.
Yes.
So he aggravates her. He's not doing it right. And then she makes herself wrong for even having those thoughts and feelings.
Yeah.
Now, in a close relationship, this is usually indicative of something older. Maybe so old it happened before she ever laid eyes on this man.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting triggered. But instead of dealing with the trigger, she's making herself wrong.
Hmm.
She's trying to solve her problem by talking herself into, hey, there is no problem here. What's wrong with you? He's a good man. You see?
Yeah.
So the question is, how does a coach deal with that? Can you see it now?
Yeah.
It was kind of like what we were talking to Donna about at the top of the call. You know, I feel guilty because I've let people down. I should be Superwoman. I shouldn't have feelings. And as long as we're in war with ourselves over what's happening, it's hard for us to heal those old places. Because we're making, you know, the conversation internally gets diverted from what's happening to what's happening is wrong. I shouldn't be this way.
Right.
So I'm just trying to help you get clear. And yes, you can proceed. And if you want to try ACT, go for it.
But when you, just so that I understand, when you say it's indicative of something older, do you as a coach go there and try to find out what's the trigger?
Well,
does she even know? Yes and no.
She probably doesn't know. She thinks it's him in the laundry.
Yeah.
You know, somewhere along the line, it's likely she didn't feel honored in her quest for beauty and her quest for order and her quest for something. Usually, you know, it's old childhood stuff.
Mm.
But, and I say this for you as much as for her, you see.
Yeah.
Terry,
it's just something
this
for
is
you,
Donna.
You to understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could I interject in the coffee talk?
I'd rather you wait until we're done, if you don't mind, Donna.
Absolutely. I don't mind.
Thank you. Thank you so much, because I really want Lisa to move forward with it, you know, and continue. Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to help you get oriented. This is a classic problem. I've worked with two or three retired couples where there's a problem. The husband retires and the wife is like, oh, my God, he's driving me crazy, and I feel so guilty that he's driving me crazy. So this is kind of a classic coaching situation here.
Hmm. Yeah. So, if please help me, because I was going to try to go kind of having her say the phrase about this thought and
mm-hmm.
noticing. Okay.
Give it a shot.
I'll give it a shot. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, guinea pig here, sorry.
No.
Thank you.
So as we discussed with Terry, and tell me where I'm wrong, but it's the problem, what you're feeling is that you are feeling some guilt in this whole process, that you could be better, that you could be more understanding or not as vengeful or whatever you want to say. What is that? Tell me where I'm wrong.
It's funny because what I think is that I should be better. I should be better. I should behave better. I should know better. I shouldn't, you know. And it just fires a whole bunch of stories. They just start going, you know. And then I just jump right in.
Mm, okay. So you're noticing, and that's you know, these are the thoughts that come to you. So I'd like you to. Now that you're noticing, and when you notice these things, when you're looking at him as he's doing the laundry and you're having this thought that he's not doing it right or he's not drying the things right, and you're having the thought, why am I thinking if I should be, you know, you're having a lot of thoughts, like he should be doing right, but also I shouldn't be so critical of him. Okay, so you're, you know, let's play with, I shouldn't be so critical. I'm always critical of him. So can you say, I'm having the thought that I'm feeling critical, that I'm criticizing Stephen, or I'm, does that sound true?
It does, but
I'm having the thought that I'm
having the thought that I'm being, it isn't criticizing, it's being, I don't know, like, annoyed. I think annoyed is more. Well, maybe I am, I guess it is criticizing, yeah. I'm having the thought, but I am criticizing him, you know? So it's more like I'm having the thought that I'm annoyed with him.
Okay.
You know, and my annoyance creates the criticism. So, yeah, I think I'm having the thought that I'm annoyed with him.
Okay. So can you say it a few more times, slowly?
I'm having the thought that I'm annoyed with Stephen. I'm having the thought I'm annoyed with Stephen. You know what it is? I'm freaking annoyed he's not out working. That's what I'm, that's what annoys me. I think that's just part of it. I really do. I know that probably sounds ridiculous, but I think that's part of it. You know, that I'm the one who's working.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's... Yeah, but I'm having the thought, I'm annoyed, yeah. I'm definitely having the thought that I'm annoyed with Stephen.
Okay. I think, Terry, please help me here, because I think we should go now into that thought of he's not working and I am. And she should tell me
more about that. Yeah. What I'd like to do is give someone else an opportunity to just jump in as coach, if we have someone willing, just to spread the love around a little bit.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you, Lisa?
Yes, please.
Do I have any takers?
I will. This is Donna.
Donna, okay. Now, let's get you oriented. Cindy, is that okay with you?
It's perfectly fine.
There's enough crap for everybody.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Cindy, you're doing a beautiful job showing up honestly and vulnerably here. Okay?
Okay.
So as Lisa was working through with her, you know, I'm annoyed with him, this new awareness came up. You know what it really is? We've gotten a little deeper. He should be out working, damn it. And he's not. So that's where, if it was me, Donna, that's where I would pick it up. So we've got a new thought that has surfaced, and since the old thought was worked all the way through and didn't bring the total relief that we'd like to have, we've got a new thought that's cropped up.
So this is Terry. This is, can I just take 1 minute with Coffee Talk? So when I've been trying to learn and follow, and so I've been taking notes, and my marmoset really went off when Cindy made the statement, what I want / or what's important to me is going to be ignored. And that's where I thought, this is deeper than her and Stephen. This is a belief that needs to be wiggled and dispelled, that what she wants is going to be ignored. What's important to her is going to be ignored. And where I would have gone, I would have said, well, say more about being ignored. What does that feel like? What does that look like? Can you think of another situation where, you know, that was just as big as this or began? That's where you said something about, you were saying that a lot of times the trigger is Stephen right now, but the thought has been around for a while. So how
I get that.
there?
Well,
or do you?
It's a good question. I don't know. Play with it. Go with your instinct. But, you know, one of the things I do when I'm coaching is I try and take them where they are in each moment. So,
right.
You know, I understand your marmoset went off 10 minutes ago.
Right.
You can either go with that or you can move forward with her a little bit. It really doesn't matter. It's all good territory. So go with your instinct.
Okay. So, friend Cindy, my instinct is to ask you what resonates more the same I'm working and he's not, and that annoys me, or being ignored annoys me.
I think the first one, actually, to tell you the truth, I think it makes me, it makes me angry that I worry about these things and I am fully engaged and moving forward in my life. I just keep seeing my world getting bigger, not smaller. And I just, I'm not content to, you know, just be around the house and putter. It's just not my thing. And I think
I was just going to have you say more about your world getting smaller. You don't want your world to get smaller. You feel like your world is getting bigger.
Yes. I feel like my world is getting bigger, and I'm doing everything in my power to make it bigger. I've worked very hard for a very long time, and I see myself in a big world. I don't see myself in a little world. And
you have the thought that Steven sees himself in a little world?
I don't think he sees his world as little, but I think we see things, we have very different needs. We always have, and that's fine. I mean, if we both needed the same thing, it would be pretty boring. But he has no problem and is thrilled with everything that I'm doing and want to do. But I think it pisses me off that, you know, I'm concerned about certain things, so I'm taking steps to make sure that these things are taken care of, like, you know, health care and things like that. And but he's just very laid back about it all, and I wish I could be.
Can you say more about being pissed off?
Yeah, I get, I think when I'm tired and I'm working hard and I know I'm making it sound like he doesn't work hard. He does all this other stuff, which is great, but it's in the quadrant of where our property begins and ends. And that's not enough for me. I need people, I need places, I love new things. I love being invested in things. It's what makes me happy. And he's not asking me not to do that. But I think it pisses me off that he doesn't want that too. Now mind you, like I said, I don't think he cares at all that, you know, I mean, he makes no requirements of me when it comes to that. And I don't either. I don't say things like that. Or maybe I do in a very veiled way. But, you know, he literally could spend an entire week and not leave the property. And he's outside all day. But, and I'm like, how can you do that? I can't. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's his business.
So,
you know, I don't need to be
I have a hunch that you are exploding with newness and life, and you want to share that with Stephen and have a full connection of him going with you, and he's allowing you to go alone, and that pisses you off. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, the thing is that I don't do anything to make what I'm doing available to him. So I can't, I mean, because I don't want to, I don't know. I want him to do it on his terms with what's important to him and what fills him up, you know? And what he gets excited about. And I guess that, you know, I'm really excited about what I do. You know, I'm excited about so many different things going on in my life right now. And I guess, I don't know. I don't want to leave him behind, you know, and yet I don't think he feels compelled to have to do anything, you know, and I don't even know what that means. You know, and I don't know, it's very confusing for me, but I do know that I exhibit this behavior that does nothing to change things, you know. It's like I push him further away with my behavior, you know, with my criticism and my intolerance or impatience.
Donna?
Yes.
It's Terry. I'm only jumping in to call your attention to the fact that we've got 13 minutes left in class.
Oh, thank you.
So if you're going to do any square one coaching, make a choice and move forward rather than just, you know, talking about the same situation.
Okay. So, Cindy, when you said, I don't want to leave him behind, I felt like there was a lot of passion and emotion behind that statement, as well as helplessness and powerlessness. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, I think that's true.
So when you think the thought, I don't want to leave Stephen behind, does that feel true?
It does. And it, I mean, in a theoretical sense, that's true. But in a, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I may be stuck right now. I don't know. It's just easier for me not to include him in things also.
I'm sorry, I missed that last statement.
Okay. Yeah, your voice got a little muffled, Cindy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I think sometimes what it is just easier not to talk about what I'm doing, not to include him, because I don't have to sit and explain it all, and I don't have to, I know, sounds terrible, but
It's just easier. Is it easier? Does it make you feel, how does it make you feel in your body when you feel like you want Stephen to know, but you have to explain everything?
I get tied up in knots. It's just like, it's like I know what's coming. Because he's he questions everything. And I can feel it coming. And it's like, I don't want to have to defend myself, explain myself. This is what I'm doing. And it's just, and that's what it feels like.
So having to explain yourself just, how does that feel in your body when you have to explain yourself?
How does it feel?
Yeah. When you're trying to explain something to Stephen that he doesn't know or doesn't understand, how does that feel in your body?
Oh, my God. I can feel it. Just as you say that, I can feel it. It is like there's this tightness in my chest and my shoulders go up and I feel like, I don't know if I do this, but it feels like pulling your elbows up and pulling them in close to your body and making fists. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's actually what I'm doing, but that's what it feels like. Tight.
Mm-hmm. So having to explain yourself to Stephen, what is that a belief that we can work with, that you have to explain yourself so that he can understand what's important to you? I mean, I feel,
yeah,
I
but
feel
it's
like we
really
started
I don't want to it's I don't want to explain myself.
You don't want to explain yourself.
I don't want him to question me.
And yet the paradox is that you want him to understand what's important to you, and obviously, not obviously, tell me where I'm wrong, but this bigger, richer, fuller life has become important to you.
It's true.
So the coaching world, what you're learning is important to you, but having to explain it is agonizing. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That is the truth. Absolutely the truth.
Okay. So explaining your passion is agonizing. Is that true?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Explaining your passion about coaching is agonizing to you.
Actually, only with him, not with anybody else.
So explaining your passion to Stephen is agonizing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is true.
Okay, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Is it absolutely true that explaining your passion to Stephen is agonizing?
No, I guess it isn't absolutely true.
Okay. And this is my, I'm just, side note, this is my weakest tool is the work, and I love it because it's so deep. So, where I would go is if explaining, let me go back up. So we've talked about how it feels in your body when you're trying to explain your passion to Stephen. So how would it feel in your body if if explaining your passion to Stephen wasn't agonizing, if it was easy, what would that look like and be like?
It would feel great. It would feel fine. There wouldn't be any, you know, my body would be free.
Your body would be free.
Mm-hmm.
So Terry, help me here. We're really time constrained. Cindy also said that she doesn't like to explain herself because she knows what's coming. And I almost wanted to go with, so Cindy, what is coming, you know?
Well, you see, Donna, what is happening is you land a thought with her and then she wiggles away with a new one. And then you land another thought and she wiggles away with another one. And you will eat up session after session after session like that, because this is how the mind, and this is not critical of Cindy, we all do this. And if it's not Donna or Cindy who has the barking dog, please mute yourself.
No, it's not. It's not me.
Yeah.
It's me and my husband was supposed to be taking care of that. So let me go kennel my dog. I humbly apologize. He has forgotten. Kennel.
So my question is, this is Cindy speaking. What you do when that happens?
What you do is you don't let the client whittle away. You step into your leadership energy and you just hold her to the thought you began working. I don't want to leave him behind is the one that I caught. Even before that, I'm annoyed that he's not out work. No, I think when you took over, he'll ignore what's important to me. So, you know, you let her talk more. Then it went to, I don't want him to leave me behind. Then it went to explaining my passion to him is agonizing. So
right.
You kind of let her lead, you see. And so what we have to do, and I'm glad this happened, Donna, because it teaches all of us. And I had to learn this, too. I did the same thing when I started. I'd let the client kind of wiggle away from me like that. But you have to step in and hold them to the thought you choose to work with. I don't want to leave him behind. Is that true? And you hold her to a yes or a no. And she can explain and wander around a little bit, but then you bring her back to the question. I don't want to leave him behind. Is that true? I don't want to leave him behind. Can you absolutely know that's true? You see, so it's just a little shift inside you. And usually when we do this as new coaches, we think that there is one magical thought that's going to unravel all this. And so, you know, we wiggle around trying to find, quote, the thought. But as you can see with Cindy, there are many, many thoughts she's having around this. And we do the client more good when we grab one and begin to wiggle that one than when we chase thought after thought after thought. Does that make sense, Donna?
Oh, it so makes sense, because I was following her and not holding her to one thought. And there's clusters. I mean, I see my clusters.
Yeah.
As the more I get around the work, the more it's like, oh, my gosh, I could go here, I could go here, I could go here. Because I have
right.
a cluster of thoughts that are a theme.
So you grab one and you work with it. That's all. There's always clusters. You just grab one, you give it a shot, and you go for it. And the more you do that, the better you'll get at thought selection and thought framing. And you let go of the idea that there is the best thought to if that's what's going on with you. That's how it worked in me. Oh, I better chase this new one because that one sounds juicier than the other one.
Right, right.
And this is so common. This is so common with the work, you guys, that Byron Katie calls it spinning. And when we went to facilitators training, when we went to facilitator training, we were taught, don't let the client do that, because the mind will always refine the story and you know, wiggle away.
I could refine the cows come home. Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, Cindy, what's going to give you relief is really digging into some of these. And I invite you to get together with Donna offline or with Lisa or with both, because you do have clusters of thoughts in here. And one is around what's wrong with your husband. And I suggest you do a judge your neighbor worksheet and let him have it. It's never to be shown to him. But just get this moving out of your system and start working through those thoughts. Remember, judge your neighbor is a thought-finding tool. It's not a thought-dissolving tool. So that helps you expose all of these judgy places that just exist, and that's okay. We all do it. And then what also needs to happen is this idea, and it smells to me a little bit like perfectionism. Tell me where I'm wrong, Cindy.
Yeah.
But I'm not being a good wife if ever a dark thought should cross my mind about my husband. You see, so it's those two
I think it's more that I'm not being a good wife, I'm not being a good person, I'm not being a good me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But guess what? You're a human you. And we do judge and we do get annoyed. And the way to work through that is to be okay with our judgments and work through the thinking. Rather than turn on ourselves, oh, I'm a bad person. I'm not being my true self if I'm judging him. Right. Well, that hasn't been working. You've been judging yourself since he's been home over this.
Right.
See? So the way through it is to judge him, work it through. And this is not to be shared with him again. Right. And then work through how you're judging yourself. And you've, what luck you've got all these coaches around you.
I know. I have a whole
and
team.
You know what? Cindy, we all do it. Let yourself be human. It's the fastest way through the muck. And you did such a beautiful job today with your honesty about where you are. Really, I mean, you showed up in the most vulnerable way. And we know you are much more than a woman who's annoyed with her husband. That's so clear.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
But, you know, for some reason, this is really getting under your skin. And so it's good for your coaching practice. It's good for your skill development, because you're going to have a client like this someday, and you're going to know exactly how to deal with it because you've looked at it inside yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Terry, this is Lisa. I just, you know, I kind of wanted a clarification on how, you know, how do you close a work, like when you're doing the work? I mean, what is the expected result out of it?
Well, the expected result is whatever happens. And sometimes the client gets insight and relief, and sometimes they don't. And when
they don't, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't make it about you, that you failed them. Just notice how it failed and work from there. And if you're at the end of your call and the client is uncomfortable, they're going to be uncomfortable until your next session, and that's okay too. Sometimes we have to sit with our discomfort. So what I would do with a client like Cindy working through some of this and she's still feeling unsettled about it, I would invite her to do just what I did. I want to before our next session, a full judge your neighbor worksheet on this husband of yours and let him have it. This is not the time for you to be wise or enlightened. This is the time to get the thinking out on paper where you can deal with it and not be giving him, you know, grunts and groans and little facial expressions that you later regret. And then notice how you judge yourself in this dynamic would be the other piece of her homework. Notice how you judge yourself and what thoughts are coming up around you. So before next session, I'd like you to clarify for me in an email, what are the place, how are you judging yourself? And I'd like to see a judge your neighbor worksheet on him. And then you pick some thoughts next time and try it. All we can do is chip at it a little bit at a time if it's a big knot. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Lisa?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a master coach. I'm a good coach. Sometimes my clients leave sessions uncomfortable. Sometimes clients receive numerous sessions uncomfortably. And they will until they don't. And then, you know, lots of clients leave the sessions like, oh, wow, thank you. All we can do is just show up and do our best with what's present and keep trying. That's the one thing I tell my clients. I will never give up. If you keep coming back, I'm going to keep working on this with you. I will not give up ever, and I don't. So if I don't get them going left, I'll get them going right. And if left and right don't work, I'll come around behind them or in front of them or on top of them, you know, just wherever I can just kind of wiggle in a little bit to try and open it a little bit for them. That's all. That's all we can do.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much easier when we don't take on their problem as ours. But we get really curious about their problem.
Mm.
Okay? Now, let me give you a little feedback, Lisa.
Yeah.
I loved the way right at the beginning you made it situational. You know, you asked her to give you an example of some of the things he was actually doing that was getting under her skin. And she talked about vacuuming and laundry. I mean, it was great to do that. Because, you know, you work with an actual situation and orient her to that. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
And then when you started the work and she said, Stephen doesn't know what's important to me. And she said, well, actually, it's Stephen doesn't care what's important to me. And you allowed that change. I thought that was great. Now, when you got into the nuts and the bolts of the work itself, question three, I like to start with the general question. How do you react and what happens when you believe the thought? You started with how does it make you feel?
Hmm.
It's not a fatal error, but, you know, the form we're teaching you, and we teach it because it seems to work the best, is to ask that broad umbrella question, how do you react? Then I listen. I listen for feelings. I listen for sensations. I listen for what's showing up in their behavior and their self, the thoughts about themselves and the thoughts about the other person. And then I structure my sub-questions from there with what I didn't hear. But, you know, not fatal. I'm just pointing that out to you. I loved when you got to question four and she was just able to get all those insights. I'd laugh. No big deal. So you did a great job with her. Don't make yourself wrong that this problem still existed. And in fact, give yourself a huge pat on the back that she was able to tell you truthfully that she was still feeling stuck around this.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
You kind of, you know, when the client has this great, like, is so present in the feeling of not having that thought. You kind of want to stay there, you know, and you know, when she was exactly saying, I would feel lighter, and, you know, it's almost like, okay, well, that's the whole point, you know, imagine not having that thought. But I guess, but then you have to move on. So I don't know how you, do you go back to it, or?
Well, you mean at what point?
Well, after the whole, you know, the turnaround also gave total insight,
mm-hmm.
but then kind of to close, you know, it's just to make them understand how much that thought is hurtful.
Well, you can't make them understand anything. All you can do is take them where they are in any moment and listen.
Yeah.
And if the client is back in the belief system that their husband is behaving in a way that they don't like, and then they don't like themselves for their reaction to it, okay, what's up now? But, you know, I just try and respond, you know, that line, Martha's line, to be in continual creative response to what's present. It's all an experiment, though, you know. If the client says they don't feel any better, to revisit and argue with them about, but look, when you drop the thought, you felt better. It's, in my experience, it's really not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, what I want to know at that point is, well, why not? Why don't you feel any relief? What's up for you right now? And it's often like this, just a cluster of thoughts. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Donna?
Yes, ma'am.
You did a great job, too. You know, you jumped in, you stayed with her. I think where you got a little off track was trying to land a thought that she was going to be okay with. And we talked about that.
Yep.
You know, and it
that was
just
really good, Terry. That was just finding out about the spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't experienced that. I haven't heard a session
mm-hmm.
where somebody does that and it's acknowledged, oh, clients do this. This is called spinning. You've got to,
right.
you know, just stick with one because there are many that we all
yes.
have.
Right. Right. Yep. And it's all okay. It's all okay. So I'm glad that happened so that not only you could have the experience of understanding and learning that that happens, but also that the rest of the class could have that understanding too. Okay?
Thanks,
and
Terry.
Cindy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome. Cindy, I commend you for your honesty, for your courage. I mean, it's not easy to do what you did today. And that's the way we always want our clients to show up. So thank you for showing us how a client really shows up and is honest. If it's working, great. If it's not working, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, for each of us, when we are clients, let's allow ourselves the honesty that Cindy showed us today. And it's not our job as client to make the coach comfortable or to tell them what they want, what we think they want to hear. It's our job to be in our process and just be authentic and honest. And Cindy, you were a brilliant example of that. So thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate Donna and Lisa, thank you very much. And Terry, you too. And I learned an awful lot from it, so I really appreciate it.
Good. Yay. Yay. Okay, you guys. We're over already, so I'm not going to take any more time now. But if you have any more questions, just post them on the forum and we'll go from there. Okay?
Wonderful.
And I'll see you guys next class. Yay.
Sounds good.
Right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.